Today on Real Radio.
And God says, reach them. Get out there. Don't regard anyone anymore after the flesh. The saved are saved. Remember, we are sinners saved by God's grace. The lost are lost because they've not experienced the grace of God yet. Their heart, they won't open their heart yet. At least they won't yet. That's how we should look.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a passage in chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, where Paul uses the term reconcile four times. That is, if we are born from above, we have a new life, a reconciliation with our Creator. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson simply called, Get a Life.
Paul hated non-Jews. He gets converted, and his announcement is, I regard no one any longer after the flesh anymore, because in an instant of time, something happened. And I'm wondering if you know what that instant in time thing is. It is awesome. What changes a man's mind? According to the Bible, conversion. How long does it take? Listen, class, how long does it take for you to be converted? Even instant's not fast enough. Right? The very nanosecond of thinking. The very one you once cursed is now the one that you are embracing. And how does that happen? This is the glorious thing about being a Christian. Well, I'd like to sign up to be a Christian. You what? I want to sign up to be a Christian. Dude, I don't know what to tell you. You got to go, maybe go to LA Fitness, sign up over there. But you can't sign up to be a Christian. The moment you make your decision for Christ, you are instantaneously changed. And it takes as long as the Holy Spirit moving inside of your life. In an instant of time, a man's converted. The thief on the cross was converted. Paul was riding on a donkey to Damascus and met Christ and was converted in that instant. That's the issue. Yet I'm concerned in our culture. We get people so close to the moment of their minds being changed, but they don't. We need to be careful about that. When we share Christ, we need to make sure that we share all the gospel. But Paul's mind was changed concerning people. And so have our minds been changed concerning people. God wants us to love people. He wants us to care about people. And Paul is saying, listen, instead of being separated from people, a true Christian heart begins to have a burden for people. And that is an amazing thing. I'll argue this with you, that we can detonate a nuclear bomb. That's powerful. What would you say is the definition of power? Well, an atomic explosion. That's pretty powerful. It may not change anything, but it's pretty powerful, right? What's powerful? A 10.5 earthquake? That's powerful. But it's ultimately not going to change anything. Is it a Category 5 hurricane? That's powerful. That could wipe cities off the face of the earth. But hey, listen, I'm going to say and suggest to you, that's not powerful enough to change a person's mind. I believe that the greatest change now of absolute power has nothing to do with the physical universe. I believe now, I'm convinced now, that the greatest change of power is when a man or a woman changes their mind. Because you can detonate the universe and it won't change their mind. Are you with me? For someone to change their mind, if there's a skeptic in the house, you have to agree with me, the possibility is out there for your mind to be changed. Not me. I'm going to die a non-believer. I don't know. Because God may drop a bomb of experience on your life and whittle you down to your knees to get you to cry out to Him. He loves you that much. He reaches out to you that hard if you'll resist Him. Now, He won't make you believe, but He's into you. And as a believer, we should be the same way toward other people. It's very important. Listen, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. Let this way of thinking, this mindset, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. This is God in flesh who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming, that is from heaven to earth, coming in the likeness of humans or mankind. God became flesh and put on a human suit and walked among us. Church, listen. How does Jesus look at people? He doesn't look at them, oh, they're white. Oh, they're black. Oh, they're... Are you hearing me? And it's wrong for us as people to do the same. It's wrong. Jesus won't do that. You know what's great? When the Word... Listen, when the Word of God is going out, I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble over this. When the Word of God is going out and Jesus is honored and worshiped, I believe that in that setting, I hope it's here as well, that it's a little glimpse of heaven. Which means there's people from every walk of life, from every continent on the earth, and every color of skin. Are you with me? Why? Why? What would cause that palette to come together? Jesus. There's no other explanation. I was saddened, but not too long, because it's the way our nation is now, over this thing about this trial that just ended last night. I didn't follow it personally, but they were the news people. CNN was making a big deal about this. There's going to be some big ethnic war when the verdict was going to be announced. And Florida had all these police and helicopters up. They had horses out there to and tear gas getting ready. Now, again, I don't know what's happened, but it was all about the outcome could be an ethnic time bomb explosion. And so what do we need to stop that? More laws? Are you kidding me? People don't obey the laws we have. Why write more? Military. Again, it's not going to last. Somebody needs to get down there in Florida and stand up in a milk carton and preach Christ. It's Jesus. Oh, we can't have that. Separation of church and state. Yeah, yeah, right. Preach Christ. It's Jesus. And he gives us such an example that this mind was in Christ, that he came from heaven to earth to reach out to a lost world to save sinners, to get us to heaven. That should be our way of looking at people now that we're Christians. We should not know anyone any longer after the flesh anymore. We should be looking like Paul looked, because Paul is looking like Jesus looked, that everyone you and I come in contact with, watch this, is this radical? They're either in heaven or not bound, heaven bound or hell bound. They're either found or they're lost. Church, do you hear me? The people you're going to go rub shoulders with at Mimi's right now, or wherever you're going to go, are you going to go to the store, you're going to go to Home Depot, what are you going to do right now? It's a bunch, it all comes down to not their color, not their status, saved and lost people. Going to heaven, going to hell people. And God says, reach them. Get out there. Don't regard anyone anymore after the flesh. The saved are saved. Remember, we are sinners saved by God's grace. The lost are lost because they've not experienced the grace of God yet. Their heart, they won't open their heart yet. At least they won't yet. That's how we should look. And this changes things for us. It's a game changer for us. Because that breaks us away from our, so to speak, ivory tower or palace. And it infuses us into a culture that should be all about Jesus anyway. Reaching. Look, we don't need to worry about how the culture's descending into this pit of insanity. Preach Christ. Live Christ. None of these things move us. But it's how you see Jesus. See, some people, maybe right now, you view Christ after the flesh. What does that mean? Well, listen, again, how did Saul view Jesus before he got converted? Did Saul of Tarsus, later to be Paul the Apostle, did he love Jesus or hate Jesus? He hated Jesus. Christians, did he love him or hate him? He hated him. As I said earlier, he'll kill them. When they killed Stephen, they laid their jackets so they could get a better throw, you know? So they could wind up and get a better pitch. They took all their coats and all their jackets and laid it down at Saul's feet so they could stone Stephen to death, a Christian. And Saul of Tarsus, Paul, was like, yes. Well, this change that happens and how you view Jesus matters. He went from an antichrist to a for Christ. But Are we any different? Now, his shift is absolutely awesome. But what about us? Are you here today, A, because your mind was changed? My mind was changed at a certain time. What about you? Has your mind been changed regarding not only Jesus Christ and who he is, but about people? Because you can believe in Jesus and be missing it altogether because you have a view of Jesus according to the ways of the flesh. What do I mean by that? You have a religious Jesus. He's on your nightstand. You've got a picture of him in your hallway. You've got a religious Jesus. You've got icons that represent him. He may be on your dashboard. You've got a religious Jesus. You've got an attempt going on for you to hopefully, if you just do all these things, get your book signed and get your happy face and your merits and pray long enough and give enough money and do enough stuff and offer enough of this, that, and the other thing that you've earned God's acceptance. And let me tell you right now, take a big breath and divorce yourself from that stuff now, because you are no different than any other pagan religion on earth that's trying to earn your keep in front of God. And God, our God, the God of the Bible, will have none of that. He accepts you when you come to him under the understanding of absolute, I need help and can't save myself. And he comes in like a flood. And that is not religion. That is relational experience with God. And one can keep you from heaven, and the other one will take you there. A big difference. And John, think of John the apostle. The Bible says that John says in the scripture that John saw Jesus face to face. He talked with him. He touched him. They ate together. Now, look, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would love to see Jesus in that environment? Oh, if I could just go back 2,000 years ago and just walk with Jesus. I have to admit, that would be pretty cool. Can you imagine? Hey, John, what if John showed up here right now? The sky parts and John comes down and... John, so you really talked with Jesus? Yep. How tall was he? I mean, what kind of questions would you ask, honestly? How tall was he? Hair short or long? I mean, I think long. The pictures I've seen of him, long. Right? I mean, we know he had a beard because the Bible said that they would pluck out his beard. But, you know, was it kind of like Dana's beard when he was playing the guitar that's like Duck Dynasty beard long? And you know, when you guys went, when Peter, James, and John, you, John, when you went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, I mean, how was that? I mean, what was that like? And John would talk to us and he would say, well, you know what? It's kind of amazing because, you know, I've kind of talked to a few of you guys and you have this picture of Jesus. I got to tell you, Jesus laughed with us a lot. He laughed. Yeah, actually, he invented humor in the first place. He's God. Jesus was sorrowful a lot of the times because he would see people in their lost condition, and he was really grieved over the scribes and Pharisees, how in their religiosity they kept people from knowing God, channeled everybody through into themselves, and Jesus hated that. But in the same time, he'd see a bird go by, and he would tell us things about that bird that nobody knew. I mean, it kind of freaked us out. We totally believed in him one moment, and then our doubts would creep in, and the next moment we wondered if he was the one or not. In fact, it really wasn't until after the resurrection that it clicked for me, John would say. But then John would stop us in the middle of this talk, and he would say, let's just leave all that behind. You want to know why? Like Paul, I, John, and the rest of us, we don't regard anyone after the flesh anymore, even Jesus. So what do you mean? Well, we knew him in his full-blown humanity here as he was heading to the cross. But now we know him in a different way. What do you mean? We know him in his total fulfillment, his mission. So what is that? Listen to what John says. John says, I'll tell you about Jesus. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Oh man, don't we need a leader like that today? Faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Who? Jesus is coming back, and the Bible says he's going to judge and make war. Some of you need to hear that. People are trying to tell me about the Jesus of the Bible right now that, And the Jesus I'm hearing is not the Jesus I'm reading in the Bible. He's going to come back and he's going to judge someday. Be happy he's not doing it right now. He's going to come back. The Bible says he's coming back and he's going to judge and he's going to make war. And John Bunyan called that the holy war. He's not going to launch a war because he's out of control. He's going to launch a war against evil. Can you handle that? It doesn't matter. He's going to do it anyway. Revelation 19:12 goes on. His eyes were like a flame of fire. John, what color was his eyes? Light green. Here on earth. Well, what color are they in heaven? Have you ever looked into an oven burning? Can you imagine? John says his eyes are like a flame of fire. Right now, church, what's Jesus like right now in the 21st century on this date in history? In heaven, his eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. You know what that means? He's the ruler of the world. Hello. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus right now. Yikes! Man. In the book of Acts, I referenced it a moment ago, Stephen's getting stoned to death by these zealots. He's a Christian in Jerusalem. And as I said earlier, Saul is there, Paul of Tarsus is there. He's managing this martyrdom going on. And at some point in time, Stephen stands there. Imagine the blood. Imagine the rip and the tears. Those of you who have been to Israel, you've seen rocks. They don't have round rocks in Israel, except in the Valley of Elah. Israel, the rocks are like glass. They're all jagged-ended. Stephen's getting hit by rocks, and then he says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and Jesus seated at the right hand." Actually, in Stephen's case, it's a little bit different. He sees Jesus standing. Doesn't the Bible say Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father? Then why is Jesus standing in Acts chapter 7? Huh? Anybody know? You want to know why he's standing? Because he's going to receive Stephen any second. That's good news. Jesus is seated because there's nothing else for him to do now. Remember he died on the cross? What did he yell? It is finished. What is finished? Your redemption's complete. Wow. And the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Apparently, the only exception to that is when he's going to greet one of his kids coming home. Jesus stands up. Is that good news or what? That's good news. Man, I know how that is. You know, I feel sorry for you because I'm always abusing you guys with these stories, but there's a lot of other churches you can go to, so that's fine. And it's what I'm living, so you know what? It's life for me. But it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I see our grandkids coming over or our nephews coming over, I get up. They don't know that. Because they're still out at the curb. They don't know I'm getting up. But if I see my nephews or my grandkids pull up, I get up. Hey, they're here. I go to the door. I open the door. Now, I could say, I am Jack. I am Papa Jack. And as Papa Jack, you come and you come gather around me. Kiss my ring and ask me if I want something to drink or my feet massaged. Are you kidding? I am up and out of there, man. Why? Because it's the kids. And here Jesus gets up from his seat to welcome the martyr, his child, Stephen. That gives me a lot of hope, man. I don't know how each of us are going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die. You do not know how you're going to die. I heard somebody tell me recently, "Well, Pastor, I got cancer. It's fourth stage. I know how I'm going to die." So you don't know that. There's a high probability you're going to die of cancer. But because you're a Christian, the rapture could happen today. Or you could right now get up and walk away from our conversation and slip on a banana peel and break your neck and die. You think you know how you're going to die. The way the world's going, we'll all be crucified for being a Christian. You don't know you're going to die, but this I know. And if you don't believe this, don't tell me, because don't disappoint me. But based on Scripture, Acts 7, I think Jesus is going to get up and say, come on, Jack, come here. He's going to open the door. Hey, you're here. I hope he doesn't say, what are you doing here? Right? He's going to say, you're here. Come on. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great day. The next thing we'll have to end at this point here is, no, we can't end at this point here. I got to give you a verse. I got to give you a verse that's massive in meaning. Will you turn quickly to John 3? Turn to John 3. Everybody turn there. Get out your iPad and turn there. Some of you pagans, I see you using your phones and stuff. That's okay if you find an app that sounds like pages turning in your phone. But the rest of the godly people are using their actual Bibles. Sounds like this, right? I just offended everybody under 30. Turn in your smartphone to John 3:1. And this is exactly an awesome picture for us to see what Jesus is giving us on how we should relate to people. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Stop right there. Not a good guy. I don't care how sweet he might be. He's with the wrong team. A ruler of the Jews. This guy, his team hates Jesus. This man came to Jesus by night so he wouldn't be seen with Jesus. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. It's interesting. Jesus' critics, and this is the top dog, is saying, truthfully or not, I don't know. But he says, we've seen what you've done. Skeptics, listen. Jesus' opponent said, you must come from God. Either A, he's lying to Jesus, or he means it, which is why he came by night. I don't know. I don't need to know. But what he is saying is true. For no one can do these things unless God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus, can I paraphrase this? Blows off the compliment and says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born a second time, Nicodemus, you're not going to heaven. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How am I going to be born twice? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's earthly birth, and the Spirit, a heavenly birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above or born a second time, born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson simply called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul explains that the true believer has been reconciled to the Father. Get a Life is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you had a chance to sign up for Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions? Real Life Devotions show up in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners who subscribe to Real Life Devotions continue to express appreciation for them. As a matter of fact, here's what one subscriber to Real Life Devotions just recently wrote. Dear Pastor Jack, how blessed I am to hear these words at this time in my life. Against all odds, you see, for the past 9 years or so, I've experienced instability. Well, now that I've come to a decision to re-enter the workforce, I've come to realize that I have very little confidence in myself. I've felt that the odds are against me, the devil's reminder. But the amazing thing is that Christ Jesus changes everything in that he promises the believer blessings. That is where your devotional encouraged me today and reminded me of our hope as believers. Thank you. And that comes from Lawrence, by the way, a Real Radio listener. Thanks, Lawrence, for that. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.